Here we are, another edition of the Bill Sang Podcast. I'd like to thank you for joining me for today's show. Again, my name is Bill Sang. And real quick, I'd like to give a shout out to Buzzsprout for anybody that's looking to start up their own podcast. Buzzsprout is the way to go. Buzzsprout provides a website for you. They provide a platform in which you can submit your podcast, and then what they do is they send it out to all these other platforms like iHeartRadio and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and many, many more according to your liking. So I encourage you to seek out Buzzsprout if you're looking to start a podcast today. And they will give you a $20 off Amazon coupon if you click the link in the description below. I'd like to thank you for joining us. So I have a unique problem today. I have to share it with everybody. I don't talk about my personal issues too often, but in light of this whole overturning of Roe v. Wade and the arguments I'm hearing, I have to make a confession. I finally have to talk about this. I was born without a baby. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was born without a baby. I think I desperately need a baby transplant. If you happen to have a baby that's fully functioning and that you don't need yourself, I would be willing to take your baby. Isn't that an absurd thing to say? And yet we have millions upon millions of people claiming that a baby is part of a woman's body. Now, I took anatomy in high school. I took 4 years of health science at Cleveland State University, and I graduated with my degree in that field. Took anatomy, and in fact, I took a cadaver lab. And oddly enough, I don't know, maybe I missed it. I don't have my master's in that area. I don't have my doctorate in that area. I never found the baby. I never found the baby. And also, I took pathology as well, now that I think about it. And I never recall seeing baby listed as an illness. Huh. This is quite the predicament. Maybe the books needed updated back then. I'm not quite sure exactly what went wrong with that, but I think that we need to update the books to list baby as an illness, because clearly there are babies just popping up in these. What are they? I hear the word woman used, but my goodness, I don't know what a woman is. Does anybody out there know what a woman is? I hear that it should be a right for a woman to choose whether or not to have a baby. What does it mean to have a baby? I thought the babies just happened. I thought that babies were a disease. That they were malignant. They were parasites. I thought, where do babies come from? Oh my goodness, this is deep. This is confusing, man. I tell you what, I need some desperate help here, because apparently there are millions and millions of people that understand this topic way better than I do. Once again, how foolish does that sound? A baby's not a part of a body. Go to any anatomy book. You will not find a baby in an anatomy book. You might see baby's anatomy, but when you see a woman and a man and all their parts labeled, nowhere in either one of them do you see a line pointing to something that says baby. I had somebody mention on a Facebook post, how would I like it if the government could force me to give me one of her kidneys if her kidney was failing? How do you respond to something like that? It's not even close to the ballpark of the same idea. Now, I believe if you support abortion, you're either ill-informed or you're wicked. A baby's heartbeat after conception starts after just a few weeks of the pregnancy. Why a heartbeat bill is an unreasonable proposal is beyond me. And on top of that, the supporters of abortion have really exposed themselves. In Virginia, a number of years ago, if you remember Governor Ralph Northam, he proposed a bill where women could have abortions after the baby was born and the umbilical cord was cut. In his words, what he said was what would happen is the baby would be taken into another room and be made comfortable, and then you would have a discussion with the mother to decide what to do. In layman's terms, we would ask the mother if she would like to kill the baby. Once it's out of the mother, it is no longer a fetus. It's a full-fledged baby. Now, I would contest that that's what it is the whole time. After all, I think that people may have forgotten this. We are mammals. We are classified as mammals. Now, go into nature and study mammals. Where do their babies come from? How do their babies start? It's all the same way. They start off inside of their mothers, with rare exceptions. And we all know the act that initiates where babies come from. So why is it that we say that a woman should have a right to choose? Now, mind you, I would accept arguments that there might be rare exceptions where the life of the mother is at risk, okay? I get that. I still argue that it's not always necessary to have an abortion. You can always induce labor and have a premature delivery, and at least the baby has a chance. I've heard doctors that performed abortions say that abortions were never 100% necessary, and that was one of the options, was to induce labor and give birth to the baby prematurely, and thus the baby has a chance to survive. God created us the way that he did for a purpose. And Satan loves the murder of the innocent. Now, we're all born into sin. I get it. I'm not talking about in theological sense. A baby, an unborn baby especially, has never had the opportunity to wrong anybody. So why is it that we think that it's okay to kill an unborn baby? Why do we think it's okay to terminate a pregnancy? One of the arguments I hear these days is that you only care about the baby before it's born, but after it's born, you don't care about its life. I am sorry. That's a straw man argument. That's absurd. And in fact, what are the remedies? What are the proposals for caring about the life of the baby after it's born? Socialism. It's socialism through and through. It's not about taking care of the baby after it's born. It's about socialism. Besides, you might find this hard to believe, but there is a day and age where a mother and a father work together to watch after their baby. And believe it or not, every baby in the world has a mother or father, even if they've never met them before. Every baby in the world has a mother and father. There's no other way to make it happen. And if you deny it, you're lying to yourself. Another one of the absurd arguments I hear, because, you know, we talk about the woman's right to choose. I understand there are rare cases, rape, incest. not things I like to talk about, but let's, you know, we take those off the table, the people that support abortion still support abortion. So why do we even bring those arguments up? If we say that those can be rare exceptions, they can be rare exceptions. But why does the baby even have to pay in those exceptions? What has the baby done wrong? Somebody else has done wrong. So we say that it's the mother's right to choose. Today, we have so many different avenues that a woman can choose from. They could choose contraception. They could choose adoption. Or dare I say, they can choose abstinence. One of the things I've noticed lots of our cultures, lots of society's problems, starts with sin. When people decide that they're going to sleep around and not get married, not be committed to one another, and a pregnancy happens, that's a choice. You chose. And thus, I can't even say you have to deal with the consequences. A baby's not a consequence. A baby is God's design. When a man and a woman love each other, so much so that they want to start a family, they take upon this creative act that glorifies God, actually, because He created us. And so we in His image have been given this great gift to give glory to God by creating life. Women, you get to carry life. That's an amazing blessing that God has given you. And yes, I've seen people post, how can you say that a rape or incest baby is a gift from God? You know what? That baby did nothing wrong. And so it doesn't deserve to die. It doesn't deserve to be killed. And ultimately, what would be better for you? To get revenge on that evil person by killing an innocent person? Let that never be the case. As a Christian, I get these arguments frequently, saying there are biblical arguments for abortion. First and foremost, there's the passage out of Genesis. That's out of Genesis chapter 2, and I don't recall exactly the verse, but what it says, well, what people that support abortion say is that this passage says that a person is not a life until they have breathed their first air out of the womb. Ugh, this argument drives me crazy. Why is that? Because the passage they cite says that God breathed breath of life into a man and he became a living soul. It's talking about creation. The man was not a life before God breathed life into him. He was a lump of clay, and as soon as God breathed into him, the lump of clay was animated. The cells came to life. The body started working. The organs started functioning. Everything started to come alive inside of this person. It has nothing to do with abortion. I can't remember where this other one comes from. There's other absurd arguments in this regard from the Bible that abortion's okay. But another one that I recall is talking about that God would make the wombs of, I can't remember, the Israelites or another type of people go barren and miscarry. And they say, ha, you see, God is aborting. God right here says that he himself aborts babies. Oh, let me correct that. Not what I just said. But rather, let me correct their argument. God is not saying that miscarriages and so forth are a good thing. What he is saying is to a disobedient or debaucherous people, I'll make your wombs go barren. I'll make you miscarry. And in the context, what he is saying is that he is basically putting a curse on this group of people for generations so they can't receive the blessing of children. Now, there's a lot of unpacking of the context of that passage. In fact, I don't recall exactly where it's from. I think it's from Isaiah. I think one of the prophetic books. And so it would take a lot of unpacking to give you the exact meaning, but that is the gist in relation to this topic. So it is so misused. It's not saying that, hey, everybody, go get an abortion. If you happen to make a mistake one night, you got drunk, you found somebody that was attractive or that you couldn't tell whether they're attractive or not, and you ended up with them and you ended up pregnant the next day. Get an abortion. That is, oh my goodness, not what the Bible is promoting. I've heard other sorts of crazy arguments for abortion, saying that if abortion should be made illegal, that other acts, like just simply women having their period, should be illegal. Not that women should having their period should be illegal, but that will eventually become illegal. It's like, what are you talking about? Well, let's get into the issue itself. The overturning of Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade established that abortion is an acknowledged human right guaranteed by the Constitution. The other day, what the Supreme Court said is that this is an absurd ruling and needs to be overturned because that abortion is not mentioned in the Constitution. And there is actually a clause in the Constitution. It's called the Elastic Clause. And what it states is that any issue that's not mentioned specifically inside the Constitution does what? Goes back to the states. So the states can make laws on it. In fact, it's a very democratic, very representative republic honoring method is to say that, okay, this is not found in the Constitution, so the federal government cannot make rulings on it, cannot declare that it's law or not, but the states individually can decide for themselves what their stances are on this, and the people in those states are the ones who vote on these issues. So I don't know what's wrong with that. So if you live in California, don't worry. Your abortion rights, I guess, are safe. You don't have to worry about them going away. If you live in Massachusetts, you can have abortions all the way until your children are 10. Virginia, same thing. Well, Virginia, I don't know. They kind of go both ways as far as conservative and liberal. You live in Illinois, man, they're still having abortions today in the streets all the time. So, I mean, don't worry about them. Their abortion rights are secure all the way until the time that you're 90, 100 years old. So, Illinois, man, you guys don't have any reason whatsoever to be upset about Roe v. Wade being overturned because Illinois is never going to make abortion illegal. There's quite a few states that are going to make it illegal, though, and good for them. When I was asked this question about if I should be forced to give somebody a kidney transplant, one of my kidneys for a kidney transplant if they needed it, that's absurd. The actual similarity is if the government told me to kill somebody, because that's what abortion is. It's actually ending somebody's life. And by the way, if you want to legally end somebody's life for just cause, you have several avenues. You can become a police officer. You can join the military. Or you can become a part of the Clinton Crime Syndicate. I just had to throw that in. I'm sorry. You won't face any consequences if you get involved with the Clintons, except for you might disappear one day. So there are risks to all of those. But no, we honor the people who serve in the police and the military. So don't take that the wrong way. I mean, you need people to defend people righteously that can take up arms and protect those who are weaker. And that's what this is all about, ultimately. The overturning of Roe v. Wade is giving innocent, helpless life a chance. Most people are ignorant. And I mean that as in ill-informed. Not that you're stupid. Most people are ill-informed in regards to when human life begins. When I was at Cleveland State University in ethics classes, all my ethics classes acknowledged that human life as defined by science starts at conception. But the question was, is when does personhood begin? And personhood is a philosophical construct that says that when you become a productive and useful person in society, a productive citizen, basically, And of course, when you're not born, you're not productive. You're inside of your mother. You're receiving nourishment from her. So how can you be argued as, so what they do is they rob the baby of its personhood so long as inside of its mother. And there is even a philosopher, I believe his name is Singer, I think it's Peter Singer, who said that a human baby is more worthless than a baby pig. Wow. More worthless than a baby pig. Now, this guy's clearly an atheist. Clearly, he doesn't believe that mankind is created in the image of God and that there is a specific design to teach us about God inside of pregnancy, human relationships, and raising a child. Clearly, I'm passionate about this. Clearly, I care about human life. Don't buy into the false arguments. There are people who are actually very informed about when life begins, and their answer is, I don't care. That's wicked. My name is Bill Tseng. This is the Bill Tseng Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And if you like this episode of the Bill Tseng Podcast, please share it with your friends.